May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn 761.
Thank you. read from God's holy word from Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 6. Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For we were the servants of sin. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting death, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord help us in prayer. almighty and most gracious God. We do pray for thine almighty help now. O Lord, look in mercy upon us to help us. Grant us thy gracious hand now, we do pray. O Lord, indeed, we do beg for that help from on high, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that speaking forth by the Spirit, the word of life, the word of power. O Lord, work mightily in us, we do pray, to help us, to uphold us, to deliver us, to strengthen us. O Lord, how insufficient we feel to be. But, O Lord, our sufficiency is of thee. It cannot be of any other. It is only through thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, that we have that good hope. O Lord, do help us, look in mercy upon us. Grant us that help we need in this service, and those of us who should sit around thy table. O Lord, grant us thy help. By thy grace and thy mercy, do appear for our help. O Lord, do be with us then, in seeking to speak a few words in thy name. Grant that understanding of thy word, to apply the word, we pray. Speak thou into the hearts of each of us. O that we may come like Samuel of old, who was instructed by Eli, to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And Samuel was faithful in that which the Lord spake. O Lord, we do pray, grant us like grace and faith. Do be with our friends here, especially the family in their bereavement. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to grant thy comfort, thy help, thy strengthening. O Lord, that thou wouldst be a very present help in time of need. And, O Lord, we do pray that these things, those reminders that for here have we no continuing city, indeed we may, these things may be laid to our hearts. And, O Lord, to consider our latter end. How should it be with us if it were to be us that were to be taken? We know not a day, what a day shall bring. O Lord, do grant us that right thought upon these things. It may be so that we can rejoice in so great a salvation. And say, like Paul, that he desired to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Knowing that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him. Or like the Apostle John, who on the Isle of Patmos, he looked and behold, a door opened in heaven. There was the Lord upon the throne. And those glorious yet solemn things revealed unto him and unto us in that vision, culminating in the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, that city that hath foundations, the city of our God, the heavenly Zion. O Lord, we do pray. Do lead our thoughts upwards. Oh, indeed, we do need thy special help. Do be with our friends, the deacons here, and the church and congregation. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to grant a godly increase, a building up in the most holy faith, and adding unto the church, and adding unto the congregation, that there may be those even in this neighbourhood who should come, seeking, truly seeking thee, and to hear thee, and to receive thy word. And we like the Bereans, to search out that which they shall hear from thy holy word. whether these things be so, that they may know that it is God's word, not man's, that they should be following. O Lord, do grant us that spirit, we pray, in that true sense that it is the word of God. O Lord, indeed we do pray, grant thy help unto each here, any that may be in trouble or in great need, or in distress. O Lord, grant thy help, thy comfort, thy strengthening. Do, O Lord, we pray, look in mercy upon thy one true church throughout this world and thy servants that labour, those in other lands, in the midst of poverty, disease, persecution, war, trouble. O Lord, indeed, the many tribulations that thou hast be with them to help them. O Lord, do provide for those who are earnestly seeking that they may receive the scriptures. O Lord, that the word may go forth with power and be abundantly blessed. O Lord, be with the Trinitarian Bible Society and all others who would likewise labour in the translation, the publication of thy holy word. O Lord, how needful that work, how bitter the enmity of Satan against that work. O Lord, do put a hedge round about those who are thus labouring, and grant that thy word may come forth with power. And O Lord, be with us, have mercy on us in the nation. Grant that outpouring of the Spirit, we do pray, that true revival, that turning again unto thee in repentance and in faith looking unto Jesus, turning away from those lying vanities. O Lord, we pray, look in mercy, grant that help to our government, mercy to them at this time, to our Prime Minister and Cabinet and Parliament. Do lengthen out thy grace and mercy to our Queen and Royal Family. And, O Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help us at this time. And, O Lord, do grant us grace now. Do help us, those of us who will meet further around thy table, to truly remember thee. In faith, do that which thou hast commanded. Do this in remembrance of me. And may there be that testimony. May there be those who thou art working in their hearts, who may be brought into the glorious liberty of the gospel. If there be any that thus, that good hope in Christ, O Lord, do bring them forth to testify in that manner that thou hast ordained, to show forth thy praise and thine honour and to follow thee. Do, O Lord, grant us now thy help and thy favour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 330. Your hearts, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. Hymn 330.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in coming to his holy word. And I direct you particularly to Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And the verses go on, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The subject indeed is such an immense one, the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how I feel so unequal to it. May the Lord apply the word, his word, with power. If we be dead with Christ, Paul elsewhere wrote to the Galatians, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And in chapter 6, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now if I be dead with Christ, can we say before God that is true of us? Are we dead with Christ? And we say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Or can we say that we are seeking to know such truths? Seeking with a whole heart to know him whom to know is life eternal. It is not of the flesh, of the sinful flesh, the natural man to seek such things. People might come and bow before crosses and crucifixes, but that's an altogether different matter to what we're speaking of here. No amount of dead religion can bring us to a knowledge of Christ. But all those things of the flesh, as it were, must be crucified. There must be that dying, those things, the old man. The old man must be crucified, nailed to the cross. There must be that death of those things of the flesh, a fleshly worship. Paul in the Galatians was reproving them most sharply, but yet in love. For they were turning back towards the law, seeking to earn their own righteousness by obedience to the law, by the works of the law. Yet they were neglecting, turning away from that glorious truth that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. and that he wrought all righteousness. But that justification is not by the works of the law, but by faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That form of execution, crucifixion. Truly the victim is unable to do anything. Hands and feet nailed to the stake. The cross, utterly unable. And it is most excruciating to the flesh. Indeed, it is when there is that, as it were, crucifying of the old man. When we have to die to all natural hopes of fulfilling the law of God. All hopes of a religion in which we can save ourselves. In which we can of ourselves please God. A religion, whether it be of traditions or of works. We read of this as well in Paul's epistles to the Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Indeed, that was written immediately after Paul warning of that dead religion. That fleshly religion of observances. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Things that are after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of will, of wisdom in will worship, in humility, in neglecting of the body, and so on. Indeed, it is most painful to the flesh. To know that we are utterly unable, utterly depraved, utterly condemned under the law. Crucified. Do we know anything of that? If we're ignorant of it, may the Lord bring us there that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. It will not just do to have some the crucifying of the flesh. There are some that, particularly in the Church of Rome, have gone to the greatest of lengths in the afflicting of the body. They've even submitted themselves to be crucified and to be paraded around in some ceremony. These things still go on in this world. But crucified with Christ. There we think of the dying thief. Yes, literally there, crucified with Christ. But this word is not just written for that man. Indeed, there was another thief, the other side. In that sense, crucified alongside, but there wasn't the work of grace in that man. He died cursing God. But the other thief, who we may say truly crucified with Christ, not just in a fleshly way, but in the glorious purposes of God unto salvation, There he was crucified. There he had to confess. Even though at first we read they both railed upon Christ. Then he had to confess to see that his condemnation was just. We indeed justly are under this condemnation. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But that man had to confess, as for me, utterly guilty. Utterly condemned. Utterly unable to do anything. But yet, he, and it was by faith, said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me. There was a confession that the Lord truly was to receive a kingdom, King of kings and Lord of lords. But one who could even remember the poorest sinner, the dying sinner, one who was utterly guilty yet repentant, one utterly unable. And although the Lord didn't, so often we read that the Lord answered nothing, gave no reply to those who insulted him, challenged him, judged him. But yet that dying thief, he hastened to speak those words of comfort and of consolation, unspeakable. The blessed words, this day, verily this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. There was such a blessing. And how wonderful it is that we should, by faith, know the words of our Saviour saying, Son or daughter, thy sins that are many, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Oh, that the Lord would speak. The minister cannot give the words of absolution. Oh, we need the Lord to speak it. It's our earnest prayer that the Lord may speak that. Indeed, what does bring us to desire a merciful Saviour, is it not, when the old man flesh is crucified, when we can no longer do anything, utterly condemned. And then, like the dying thief, then we have to say, we indeed justly are under this condemnation. For this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord who we call upon, the Lord who by the Spirit is here now with us, wherever the Lord's people assemble, and indeed even in the heart of every true believer, where the Lord dwells, he is the same Lord, it's the same merciful Lord, same gracious Lord. I read, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, if we be dead with Christ, those who were crucified, as it was with the Lord, they were put out to a public spectacle, the most cruel, not just painful, but utterly humiliating form of execution. displayed before the world her hatred and mockery. And so it will be. To those who are dead with Christ, who are dead unto the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world will come and mock. If we are made by God's grace the friend, as it were, the friend of God, we will not be the friend of the world anymore. You cannot serve two masters. If there's that translation, as it were, that carrying across from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. There will be that rage and enmity and bitterness of Satan and his agents like never before. But yet we'll see that the world is crucified unto me. By God's grace, there'll be that saying that the things of this world have no longer got that glory or supposed glory. No longer that which is attractive, but rather those things in the new man of grace we see are but lying vanities, but deceitful things, things that are corruptible, things that shall pass away, things that are utterly condemned before a holy God, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Indeed, it can often be a time that I knew it myself, when there were new desires arising in my heart, desires toward the house of God, to the word of God, to prayer, to seeking to know God. Altogether different from what had gone before in my life. On the other hand, those things that were my meat and drink, I could no longer go with. They seemed repugnant. They had an evil savour, whereas before they were my meat and my drink. Those who I once mocked and despised, who had a true profession of Christ and truly sought after to know him, who would meet together around God's word instead of mocking and insulting, it's not to their faces but when their back was turned, but would be joining them. Joining them to come and meet around God's word. Whereas those who have been my friends, friends in the world, friends no more. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. By whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus. I was a marked man, as it were. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The name of Jesus. The sake of the name of Jesus. We see clearly, we quoted it this morning, concerning Moses, esteemed the reproach of Christ, or the reproach for Christ, that greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. He saw where those treasures of Egypt and all the the glory of it, as it were, crucified. That which was a spectacle to be mocked, utterly despised. And esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. And indeed there was that reproach. He forsook Egypt. There was that persecution. There was that cost. There was a cost in earthly terms of how much greater the reward by God's grace in heavenly. Now if we be dead with Christ, are we dead to this world, or is this world our life? We often might speak about those who are very worldly, they're the life and the soul of it, and truly they are, and such were some of us. When we're crucified with Christ, no more. Those things that we formerly did can do no more. And those things that we previously loathed for our meat and our drink. And it's by the Lord Jesus Christ, by sovereign grace, through his work of redemption, through his obedience, glorious obedience in fulfilling the holy law of God, working out that righteousness that we might be clothed upon, and going to the cross, shedding his precious blood, bearing that unspeakable punishment in his sacred humanity, body and soul, on account of our sins. See, indeed, perfect, pure, holy, but bearing our sins in his body, nailed to the tree. In this context, we have another verse. It's often well known in Philippians. In Philippians 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Fellowship of his sufferings. Well, the Apostle Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He thought he was so perfect, so zealous, so right. He realised that all was wrong. When Christ came with power on that road to Damascus, he saw that everything was wrong. But yet, the Lord showed him mercy. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, if we be dead with Christ, well, there are times when the Lord will bring us into tribulation and trouble. And times we think, oh, how heavy an affliction it all is. We're surely going to sink under it. Then, as we consider Christ, and consider what he bore upon the cross, his great sufferings, unspeakably great, immensely great, immensely intense, and that it was all done in love to the saving of our souls, then we can say by faith, but our light affliction. It's only through faith and by the Spirit we can say it's a light affliction. It's only as we see Christ and see that he suffered so much greater than we do, and that it is all done in love, that it was to deliver us from this, the body of this death, to deliver us from this sin-cursed world. And we see that if it were not for those afflictions and those oft troubles, we would be drifting with the world, being overcome by the world, rather than looking unto Jesus. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And we either, through God-given faith, overcome the world in the name of Jesus, through him who said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, or we are overcome by the world. There are those who are overcome in some sudden, terrible way. Oh, may the Lord keep us, preserve us from some terrible sin. There are others overcome more gradually, more slowly, more insidiously, almost imperceptibly. And there is just as much danger there. How easily we can drift along. Is anyone here drifting? If we're drifting, I think I could say this reverently, we won't drift towards Christ. That sort of easy, casual drifting is away from Christ. Slowly, slowly but surely, forsaking our first love. Lukewarm. Growing worldly. Allowing things that once we would not have done. How careful we must be. The Lord is very gracious. Such times the Lord will bring us into a time of affliction, difficulty, trouble, to bring us to prayer, bring us to cast our all upon him, bring us to think, where am I? Those things that we're engaged in now, where have they led me to? To bring us in mercy to look unto him again. But that fellowship with him in his sufferings, it is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. The Lord is merciful in these things. Although the old man, the carnal reasoning, thinks it's not fair. It's not right. Why has it happened? But as Paul, let us follow that exhortation of Paul in the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye be risen, then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look up. Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he looked and behold a door opened in heaven. There wouldn't have been any heavenly revelation by meditating upon the pains of Patmos. Yes, Patmos is mentioned in about a quarter of a verse in the entire book, just so that we understand the context of where he was. But that's all. It's taken up with Christ. the glorious risen Lord Jesus Christ. He looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. There he saw the Lord upon the throne. And if by faith we look up, then we'll see that the Lord is upon the throne. The Lord rules in our lives. In all the troubles, all the storms of it, the Lord is above it all. And it's all part of those things that work together, the all things that work together for good, to them that love God and are the called according to his purposes. These things bring us to see that this world, indeed a dying world, but Christ ever liveth. The Christ is at the right hand of the Father. That he has gone to prepare a place. As the Lord said to his disciples. I remember reading this in the midst of a lot of trouble. In my early days when the Lord first brought me into gospel liberty. And this was a wonderful confirmation of it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What an encouragement that is, to seek that heavenly city. That one that is to come. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. One where Jesus is. Now, if I be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Christ not only died, but he rose again. There's the terrible, idolatrous, blasphemous nature of the crucifix. That image, some carving or casting of Christ hanging upon a cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not upon the cross. He is at the right hand of the Father. He once suffered on that day at Calvary. But he declared, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He is in glory. His body is not in the tomb, to the right hand of the Father, now glorified. It's his intercession that is continual. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And if we are to have a truly living religion, it can only be in union with the living Lord Jesus Christ. If all we have is a religion of bones and relics and statues and images of Christ on the cross, it's a dead religion. It's a religion of the dead, not a true living spiritual religion, which can only be in Christ Jesus through God the Holy Ghost, who proceeds from God the Father and God the Son. Because I live, you shall live also, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. We're risen with him. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful truth. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who we worship, is he ever liveth. If he was just dead, we would be committing a great sin to be praying to someone who is dead. That is strictly forbidden, called necromancy in the Word of God. To seek contact with the dead. This is why praying to departed saints and so forth is a great sin before God. But Christ ever liveth. He's not Yea, you died, but yea, behold, I am alive. God ever liveth. In Revelation chapter 1, the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ declared. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So I am the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. I am alive forevermore. He ever liveth to make intercession. And he rose again for our justification. And that news, that witness, the resurrection to the disciples, how that brought peace. The Lord said unto them, peace be unto you. And that word came with power. Now their sorrow was turned into joy. Now all their confusion was and despair and dismay and given that good hope. It's because Jesus was alive. The Lord Jesus Christ, he walked with them. That's why their hearts burned within them. That Jesus ever liveth, and by the Spirit he is dwells in the heart of each believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is in the midst of every assembly of believers, even if it should be as small as two. Well, the world. And I found this when I was converted at university and came to chapel at Southampton, and there might have been about a dozen or 15 of there. People would say, "Well, how many people at your church?" Knowing that it wasn't very many, and to try and sort of mock, "Only 15. Well, is that 350 at mine? How many church members have you got?" "Only 5. Well, we have 150 sitting down at our church." Well, that's what saith the scriptures. "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Even two. Well, the Lord giveth grace to the humble. Proud are far off. Lord utterly despises such things, such counting of numbers in the flesh, as it were. David numbered, tempted and fell under the temptation to number Israel. And he had to confess it was a grievous sin. We believe that we shall also live with him. That life, it is so vital in our worship, in our religion, that there be that life. And that life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, received by faith, we believe. Not just a casual believing, but like the Ethiopian eunuch who was so desiring that he should know of whom the prophet spake. In that those verses concerning the Lamb of God, that one who was afflicted, smitten, afflicted, that one prophesied in Isaiah 53. You must know. And the Lord sent his servant to preach Jesus. And his eyes were opened to see, yes, it was Jesus. And that Jesus ever liveth. And said, "See, hither is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said unto him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That wasn't just a casual statement. It was from his heart. For the Lord, the living Lord Jesus Christ, does that testimony in his life, his heart, does that new life? It wasn't just something interesting to the mind. It wasn't just a scruple that was cleared up. Something that was just explained that now he understood, but there was that life by the Spirit in his soul. His sins forgiven. Jesus Christ is alive. The Lord is risen indeed. In that chapter that we read in Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The ordinance of baptism, that word means to immerse, to be submerged, to be the symbolism, to be buried, to be dead. Buried with him by baptism into death. Be dead. That testimony, witness, that we are, by faith, dead unto the world. But rise again out of the water. Showing forth by the resurrection power of Christ, there's a newness of life. The seeking grace of God, that we should seek to live unto him rather than unto all the vanities of the present world. Yet we have to confess, like the Apostle Paul mentioned it before, this, O wretched man that I am. And it was a long time after he was baptized. So we've got that old man of sin within, the old heart. Yeah, there was a new man of grace. But yeah, there was a conflict. A mourning over those evil thoughts. Foolish thoughts. The, as it were, how the old man of man drags along. When we would do good, present is evil with me. Easily worked upon by the adversary of souls and the temptations. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, who Jesus Christ, the living Lord, who ever liveth to make intercession. There is our deliverance from death, from the body of this death. It is the Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the ordinance of baptism isn't a testimony that I'm no longer a sinner and I shall never sin again, no. If we say we have not sinned, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, wrote the Apostle John. But it is a testimony that there has been that crucifixion, as it were, of the things of this world, crucified with Christ. A death unto this world. Death unto hope of ourselves. But there's a rising again in that newness of life in Christ Jesus. That testimony that whereas we once served the things of this world, now we profess, seeking grace of God, utterly dependent upon him, that we seek his glory and to walk humbly with him. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And it's not just a hope in this life. If we have hope of Christ only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But our hope is a glorious, eternal hope. We said this morning about that heavenly city that hath foundations. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. we believe that we shall also live with him. It's not just living in this world, living a life of faith. It is that we shall live with him eternally. And that should animate our hearts, give life. The word animate means to give life. That's why the apostle said to the Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. May we indeed encourage us one another in these things. May we look indeed unto the Lord who ever liveth. And may we have that singleness of eye, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £705, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sadler will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their Trinitarian Bible Society service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask, and not obtain? Hymn 964.
may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.